You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in chapter 2. And being in the presence of God and looking at God's word, so we're seeking to gain that which he has seen fit to record. And that's what we're looking at. And we share together as we sought to refresh our mind on the book of Jeremiah, since we did that up to chapter 29. So we're just coming back to it. We're sort of just getting the flavor of the movement. And Jeremiah is the centerpiece. He's the God's chosen man for that ministry to Jerusalem and Judah. Ezekiel is God's chosen man for those who have gone in the first and second, kept taking, Nebuchadnezzar took three times. And the first two times, Ezekiel is over there in Babylon. So, and these are dear men, prophets, and they're seeking to go and awaken the heart of the Israelites, Judah, Jerusalem, so that they take advantage and not totally lose out. Now, God had a wonderful plan for Jeremiah. God has a wonderful plan for Ezekiel. And we share together, because it's very important, that God has, when he created us, and we shared all of these things in some detail, and reminding ourselves that God had us in mind, in his mind, totally, right now, before anything ever was, God was thinking of you right now. You were never existent, but God had each of you in mind. You weren't even existent. He saw this. He sees it. So, God has a wonderful plan for the human being. We shared all those things. God created us for his enjoyment and for God to, in his image and likeness, so that we could know him and show him, and that God would be honored in a visual display, like we shared, a painting by the artist, a building by the builder, that kind of thing. To be able to see something, to show something, to be able to look at it, your painting that you did. God's creative genius, his wisdom. Thus, so we want to learn. And here, as we've been looking at, we call it the toughening realities. And that's what we did last week, and that's what we're doing again, and probably again. In order to what? God, it's a wonderful thing to have God's will for Jeremiah. It's a wonderful thing to have God's will for us. But the average human being never enters into that will. I just bypass it. So, looking at Ezekiel and reminding us, if I may, and God's outworking in our life and outworking in Ezekiel and Jeremiah's life. So God, you're going to go and you're going to have a wonderful plan. And when we line up with that plan, there's nothing anyone anywhere can do to destroy it. It's your plan. It's going to go in your painting, as it were. And there's no one in forever that can touch that. So we shared in Jeremiah 1 and 18 and 19 that there's no one anywhere, kings and priests and people and prophets, it wouldn't make it false prophets and priests. No one can do anything in God's will. If God wills it, it is so. And he tells us that he will deliver. He delivered Jeremiah. He delivered Ezekiel, and chapter 3. You'll go to chapter 3 for a moment. And in chapter 3, look at the end. This is to Ezekiel now. And picking up, if I can, in the process. And now in saying that, God, what's the purpose of the prophets? To awaken the Israelites to realize that God has a wonderful plan for their life. And they're forfeiting it, getting into idolatry. So they're losing out. And to lose out isn't just losing a game or losing a day at work or school. It's to lose out forever. Forever. They'll never, never, never be able to get, if they forfeit believing, they're unbelieving. They aren't going to go away, but there's never a change. So God sends the prophets because it's so sobering to awaken them. To what? God has a wonderful plan for them, as he does for Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and for all of Israel, and for all of us. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan. So, and in the process, God has given them an assignment. And you'll notice in the end of verse 19, 3 and 19. And I'll read just a little bit of it. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul to pluck out of the hand, to rescue, to save. Remember, that's the word, without turning there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19. God said, no one, nothing anywhere will ever stop what I'm doing. No one can get in the way. They can try to, but they can't stop it. And I will deliver you. I will rescue you. Everyone is against you. People, priests, kings, the whole works is against you. The whole world system is against you. But this is what I want you to do, to warn them, to awaken them. They have a wonderful, wonderful choice to enter into the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them. And they weren't even born yet. They hadn't even sinned. They did nothing wrong yet. They're going to be born. And God already has a Savior for them. So they're to do that. And as long as Ezekiel and Daniel, that's the same verb as you have, look at verse 21, the end. And because he is warned, thou hast delivered thy soul. So a Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God confirms that you're going to be quite able to finish everything I have in mind, and I'm going to outwork it. So no matter what the cost, consequences seem to be, it's going to happen. And so therefore for us, God, and you're going to tell, without reading all of that at this point, in verse 18-19, you're going to warn the bad guy. The bad guy can become a good guy. The bad guy can stay a bad guy, 18-19. The good guy can become a bad guy. The good guy could become a bad guy. And the good guy could stay a good guy. Your job, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, is to what? Warn them. Make sure you help them understand the choice they're making, where it's going to end up. And that's the power of this, the movement of it, to awaken the human heart to God's wonderful person and plan and saving grace. That's why he created us all. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and that's summing up a little bit of Ezekiel, you can read those wonderful things that help you. It's a warning. That's what the job is, the warning. Hang on to that part of it. So the assignment is to get to know the Lord, and the Lord leaves you on planet Earth, Jeremiah 17, to be a little light and a testimony, a showpiece. Here's all the other human beings around your neighborhood, at work, at school, in a state, country, wherever it is, all the cultures and everything are there, all whatever they are, the race, whatever time in history, and it's our time, at this time, in this culture, here we are in this country. And all of that is taking place. And God leaves them in there, wherever they are, in order to be a little light to remind the people that God had a wonderful plan, and If it's being rejected, you're going to pay an awful price, but don't reject it. And so we're little believers, we're to be witnesses, we're left as a showpiece to show God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Now, so therefore, God will not abandon. God will help no one. We shed no one anywhere and anyhow. And we're to hold fast using going, jumping where we were in Hebrews. Hold fast your profession of faith, your confession. Jeremiah, what are you saying when you say, why does God warn Jeremiah and Ezekiel, don't back off and don't deviate, don't get caught up so you don't run the race and don't finish all that I have in mind. And he tells them. And so here in Hebrews, we read 4 and 10 of that, hold fast your profession, your confession. Don't lose it. So it's the same. We got it. They had it. We got it. To hold fast. So who's holding fast? Hold fast to what? To hold fast how? Now, so having that little bit, if I can, while you're here, before we go a little further, over to Romans and chapter 11, just for a moment to remind you and myself. And Romans chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 11, picking up in thought. Now, why am I doing that? Because we're looking at Israel by way of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. God has a wonderful plan for their life. They're going to throw it away. That's what they're going to do. They're going to get tied up. They already had the Assyrians have already taken the 10 tribes. Nebuchadnezzar is just about to take the 2 tribes, Benjamin, Judah, Jerusalem, to take them into captivity. Israel as a nation, as the nation God intended it to be, is no more at the top of the pile. Daniel chapter 2, it's gone down to the bottom of the pile. So all the Gentiles are over it. Israel's at the bottom, anti-Semitism, down the bottom. Now, having said that, now God, if I was an Israelite and I was looking to God, I don't see any future. I don't see it in time. I don't see it with my family, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. So it's sort of discouraging, except I'm looking at it from a human standpoint. From the artist, I'm saying God, from the God standpoint, it isn't that way. Romans 11:36, about Israel. For of him, and us, for of him, God is the source, the origin, and through him, he's the means to make it all happen, day by day, hour by hour. And to him, he's the end object of everything that takes place, all for his pleasure and will. For all things, to him are all things, the start, the finish, the middle, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever, and amen. So the painting, the artist, Israel has a sure future. No question. So I'm looking as my father, grandfather, I don't see anything. Hold it. I'm looking out this way. I need to look up. And there is my future. God is my future. God guarantees that what he started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, he's going to finish. What God started in your life when you got saved, no matter how you goof, you could lose 50 years of your life down the tubes. But if you're saved, God is going to finish it. We just read it on Sunday, remember? Of all the Father giveth me, I will what? Lose nothing. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to lose a thing. It's true people are going to lose out, but God isn't going to lose out. God, because he gave choice, and that's his plan. Now, having that little bit in mind, if you would please, over to Jeremiah and in chapter 2. And they had just started it anyway. Now, remember now, Jeremiah is going against. We're looking at the realities that cause us to grow, to be exercised, to learn. And the Spirit, we have to have the experience to grow up. Everyone starts out little. We shared it on Sunday, you know that. Little children have to be little and not stay little. They stay little in dependence in growing up from a human standpoint, and then they become independent. That is not true with believers, but as the children grow up, they have to grow up and the only way they can grow up healthy is to face the realities of life and to face them in a succeeding way with understanding in order that you can grow and keep going and learn. That's how you learn. That's how you get discernment. You go through it all. I try to think of each of your lives are different, our lives. 1,000 things I've been through, all kinds of things. It was my privilege to go through them. I didn't plan it. God did it. And I had all the exercise of all the hundreds of many things. Ooh, long list. Wow. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. And you go through them. You succeed. And when you're done with the exercise, there's still God. Then you go to the next exercise, and there's still God. So here we are, Jeremiah. And here are the great the troubles we're facing in order to learn reality. And therefore, we go through all of these special times. And that's why God leaves us. So I'm interested. Remember now, as we sought to do this, that the people, your flesh, your old nature, the world system, which is godless, that's all humans make up the world system. We're part of the world system, us humans, and the satanic system. So in the whole thing, it hates darkness. It hates light. It has no place for light. The flesh, the world, and the devil never has a place for light. Never. We turn everything upside down, as we in Isaiah 5:40 and that. 5:20, and we have no place for life. And life, in not just living, we have existence, no question. But life, God is life. What is life? God. God gives you his uncreated life when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And our human position in death, because that's what we need to get. What's the one person a person needs? They need life. Why do you believe? Because you're dead, spiritually dead. You need life. So we come to know the Lord as our Savior. But if we don't come to know the Lord as our Savior, we hate death. And you have to understand that's part of the problem you've got with our particular society at the moment. Because they have chosen gay and all kinds of stupid, dumb things, marriage, but there isn't marriage, and everything else. And they can't afford to give in. You know this. They can't afford to give in to good thinking. They can't afford to do it. It would ruin where they are. Do you understand? They can't bring light into it. You can't bring truth into it. So they'll fight tooth and nail, no matter how dumb it seems to be. They'll fight tooth and nail to defend it. And no matter how stupid the laws are, they're going to go with them because it's going to cover them. And they aren't going to try to get out of it. Why don't they try? You say, well, maybe they'll wake up. They can't without condemning themselves. It ruins their style. Two fathers and two boys or two girls. It ruins their life. They can't afford. They can't afford to do it. You understand that? They just can't do it. And so why can't they fix it? They can't fix it. I'm going to fix it. So that's where we are. Jeremiah, you're facing that kind of world at that point in your life. Therefore, you shared in Jeremiah chapter 2 that God was speaking to, and God, the message coming is that God, verse 11, chapter 2, hath the nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. They've left God out to go to God, God's little g, idols and idolatry. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Why are you telling the earth system to mourn, to lament? What's so horrible that's happening on earth? Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. A, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And B, they've substituted a way, got to have water. So we're going to get water on our terms and our way. And we've hewn out broke cisterns, ways to collect water, etc. And they're broken systems at that, because the very best, you're depending on the rain, you're depending on what you've done to keep you. And it seems good enough because your cistern has got half of 10 quarts of water, but that's going to disappear and dissipate. You're not going to have it. So we're trusting that. Verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that if an evil thing be bitter, the evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that thy fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, God, so here we are looking, and they have no sense. Verse 24, I'm looking at Jeremiah as facing this crowd. And they don't want anything to do with God. That's very important to get that part. Verse 23. A wild ass used it to the wilderness, wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure, in her occasion, who can turn her away? All that they seek, all that seek her will not weary themselves. They shall find her. In other words, when the wild donkey is full of vigor and energy, passion out there, it's the wrong time to try to tame it, to try to tell it to carry the load. You just let it run loose and get out of its system. And so that's what you're doing. Now, God applies that. Verse 25. Israel's like that wild donkey. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No hope. No hope. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go, like that wild donkey. And God said, I would like to get you, but you're so way out of the line. So God said, I can't get you. You say there's no hope. And the same breath, you're hoping to get what you're after in your lovers, etc. So, having that little bit in mind, and we're facing that. That's what Jeremiah's facing. That's the crowd it's facing. Now, hang on, it'll come out, may not at this point, but we're headed there anyway. So, in the process, picking up, please, in verse 31, 531, I was going to say. And in 531, picking up, I'm adding to that now, that mood, that movement. And I have heard a voice of a woman in travail, and the anguish be as her that bringeth forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth. You're on 5, right? I'm on 4. But I want you to know what gets me sometimes. I just do this. I got to stop it. I just look, and it'll say 5 or 6 or something, And I have to wait to get to 5. Before it says 5, you can't read 4 until it says 5. Do you understand that? So I tend to read 4 as if it was 5 to speed it up. Over to chapter 5. You'll see the difference immediately. Chapter 5. Picking up if I can. It's in the same spot, by the way. Do you ever notice that? Because my Bible just got pictures of everything, you know. Chapter 5, verse 31. And I'll read the verse 30 because you just read that in chapter 2. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What is so awesomely amazing and astounding? The prophets prophesy falsely. They give a big false message. And the priest bear rule, subdue, to carry, to be in control by their hands, etc. Their guidance and their counsel to the priest. And the priest bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. They love to have it so. They love chasing the idolatrous system. And they love the priest and the prophets, the false ones, who are telling him, go love. It doesn't matter what you love. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't make any difference. Hang on. And the end of verse 31. What will you do in the end thereof? When the end comes, and then all the pursuits, all that you did in one's life, now what are you going to do? How do you fix that? How do you correct it? You don't. So therefore, God warns them. You love what you're hearing. You love what you're following. You love what you're doing. You're loving it. And now, Jeremiah, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to go and tell them that they need to get right with God, and God has a wonderful plan for their life. And in the process, what? Well, they aren't doing very good. And thus, you remember, just so you don't remember that with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and if I can, and remember Moses, you don't have to turn there in Deuteronomy, and chapter 31 of that, and Deuteronomy, and what of Moses? Moses is going to say, wonderful section, in his last days, last hours before he lives, actually, he lives, and he tells the people what? You are a corrupt people. You are corrupt. And your corruption is, I'm holding it back, but the minute I drop dead up at that mount, what's going to happen? You're going to get worse. You're going to go from bad to worse. You're going to go in Joshua, but not long, because that attitude's there. If it wasn't for Joshua, like Moses, they would have gone back to Egypt if it wasn't for Moses and God. And Joshua, you would never beat 33 kings. You would never beat, people would never do it. But Joshua was able to go and lead them. And therefore, they followed him. And wherever God was with Joshua, as he was with Moses. And it's going to all happen. That's what's going to happen. But after that, after Joshua, and the elders, judges, everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. It's not going to stay. Jeremiah, you're facing that much further into time, down in our direction. And the attitude and thinking is so intense and so hard. So we're trying to be a little light in the darkness. And in trying to be a little light in the darkness, it's hard to be a little light in the darkness. Because no one wants to see the little light. They don't want the little light at all. So therefore, as God was with Moses, God was with Joshua, and they withstood. God is with Jeremiah, God is with Ezekiel. But the world system has no place for God, as we shared. And the flesh, etc., has no place for God. And Jeremiah, what do you need to be learning? What is the reality, among other things? that I'll give it to you in a big way. Romans 7:18, you know, Paul said, my greatest achievement, my greatest discovery, among other things, is that in me dwelleth no good thing. My greatest discovery. Jeremiah, you're facing your own nature is like this. And you're serving me, my will. So you're looking out there at a world system that has this, it's reflecting back on you, and you're facing it in its crudeness and rudeness. You're looking at it, like in Romans 7:24 again. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? It's awful. Well, that's what you're looking at, Jeremiah. And if you're going to walk with me, that's what you're facing. You represent me, and I'll represent you, and no one will stop you. But if you're going to start compromising and playing, as you'll see, wonderfully so, I hope, as you start doing that, you're appeasing, you're backing down. You have to understand, you represent me. You don't represent the flesh. That's your two-year-old nature. What are we to do with our flesh? You know it. We're to what? Crucify. Reckon yourself what? Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead. Why? Because you don't understand. It's all of God, and you're facing huge, impossible circumstances. And the whole world system around you, starting with Israel, for Jeremiah, starting with Israel, let alone the church coming down the road. There's no one for Israel. God is, the prophets, but who's listening to the prophets? They kill them. They don't want the prophets. The world system has no place for God. Oh, we should have a little tolerance, a little give and take. Isn't that what you want? Shouldn't you have that in fairness? Sure it is, from a human standpoint. And we want to have a little fairness, give and take. You believe, and I believe, we believe similar things, and may not believe some other things. Isn't that all right? No. No, you're compromising. I don't have a middle ground. I don't have an all right tolerance. There is no tolerance for rightness. Do you understand? It's either 100,000% right, or it isn't. God will not allow one speck on the sheet of white paper we held up once. That's why you can't. When God forgives your sin, how many does he do? You're doing them every day in your old nature. You're running around cultivating it. How many does he forgive? All of them. All of them. If he doesn't forgive all of them, are we in trouble? We have passed, as long as we're breathing, we're in trouble. So God, what did you do? Reckon yourself dead. I crucified it. No flesh shall glory in my presence. What did you find out, Jeremiah? What are you finding out? In trying to do the job, I'm learning that the human nature is dead set against God. The world system is dead set against God. Satan is dead set against God. The whole thing. But God, that Jeremiah, do you understand? You would never know this living and going fishing over there by the brook. You would never know it. The only reason you're discovering it, because I'm sending you smack into the middle of the darkness. Smack into the middle of death. Smack in, like David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, death and that darkness. Wow. So God, here's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is going through all of these things. Over to Jeremiah chapter 6. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. They don't even want to know what the Bible says, let alone understand it. Verse 11, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with withholding it in. Jeremiah is moved. God isn't happy with this. So when God isn't happy with what's going on, then you can't look out and be happy with it, because God isn't happy with it. So God, the peace of God passes all understanding. True? It is. But we're going to look out, and the world's cuckoo and way off, and but God is not happy with this. God's not happy with it. And in your heart, God isn't happy with it, and you're trying to be compromise with it. And you can't do that. Do you understand? You can't do that. We do it. But that's why we never get there. The exercise is trouble. The realities of life are awesome. And we don't want to face them, because we wake up to the fact that that's why Christ died on the cross, because of the awfulness of everything. It's dead in sins, wicked. So therefore, in chapter 6, picking up, please, if I can. I'll read verse 11 again. Therefore I am full of fury, though I am weary withholding. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men, and together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is a full of days, and their houses, verse 12, shall be turned into others, with their fields, their wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Verse 13, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophets even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the daughter, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In the word slightly, to make it isn't really important. It isn't really, you don't want, it's insignificant. Oh, the troubles we're facing today, yeah, the troubles we're facing right now in our country, let alone the world, the troubles we're facing in our country, they're really not bad. Oh my, somewhere we got to look again, because it is going, and nothing's going to stop it. I don't think so. I don't hear it from people that are with it, the people that are sharp and know it isn't going to stop. We're too late. We should have said something 3 years ago, but we didn't. And now you're not going to stop it. Now, so what we just read? God, we're looking out, and what are we saying? What are people saying? Well, it isn't so bad. Do you still be able to go to the store? Yeah, I can, but I can't. I hope this isn't true, that you grocery stores can't use bags, paper, or plastic anymore. So what you do is go with your thing, and you go, and hold. Now, when I come with my carriage full, do you know how many trips I have to take like this? And I hope no one steals it in the process, because I'm trying to get my bags out. Got it? Wow. I think that is going to touch people, don't you? You go to the grocery store and you can't use a bag. No bag. No bag. No plastics. Against the law of Connecticut. Wow. If that's true, I think it's true. I hope it isn't. Because I'm not going to shop anymore. I'm going to hunt in the backyard and let it go with that. Wow. It's there, conditions. And the conditions, you live in them. And they're awful conditions. And that's what God, you're saying. And what are we saying? It isn't bad. Slightly. Peace. It'll be all right. You'll always be able to get a pizza, at whatever terms it will be on. You're always able to do this. You have your television. You can watch Portia Faces Life or something. That used to be there somewhere. And in the process, all of these things we can have and do. We can have and do them. It's all right. Wouldn't that be normal for us humans to do? Sure it is. Well, it isn't too bad yet. But then it goes from A to B to C. And could it get worse? Well, if they take away the bags, pretty soon they'll take away the food in some form. Now what? Now what do you do? Well, see, it's going to go down and down and down. So, God, here we are, and here's Jeremiah, and God says, listen, stop listening to the crowd telling you all this stuff. And thank God we've got a whole lot of noise out there, comparatively, what it used to be, trying to fix things, trying to tell people to get straightened out, trying to do something. But without God, and if the heart of the people, Jeremiah, are you facing reality? I am. I'm learning of it. What are we going to do to stop Nebuchadnezzar? Nothing. Could it be done? Sure. But the people don't want to do it. The people want a lot of things, but not God. Not God. I can be whatever I got and use God's wonderful name, but I don't want God. What's God? God is holy. And Christ died on the cross and condemned everything on earth that has been affected by sin. All of it is affected, condemned. All countries, all cultures, everything, everything. Well, no. Well, God said it is. And you're representing me in time. So either you represent me properly and fully, or you're trying to appease and live, get through everything as best you can. That's the thing to do anyway. You want to do it, you know. And if they tell you to using white uniform, if you had to wear a white uniform at Joe's hospital or something, and you have to wear a white uniform, okay. And not put a white uniform on. I don't wear one, but I go to work. I wear my white uniform. But they're going to change the color to blue. But I like my white. If you want to keep a job, are you going to put on the blue? What's the difference it make? It's a dumb thing, blue. All right, put on the blue. It doesn't, it's just a thing. That's what they're doing. You don't have to wear blue at home. You can wear green. But whatever you're doing, you can go do it. Do you understand? The system. It's going to go. You're going to have to understand. So in the process, people are trying to pacify fear. That's why you got all the crime coming. Because people are frustrated. And when you got a frustrated society, go back. You know all these things. Back in history. And when there's a shortage, like in California, where the police stopped, literally. And boy, all the bad guys said, roll up your sleeves and get busy. And they did. They did. And so when you have all of that going on, all of that kind of activity going on, then you have to understand that people wake up, hopefully, but they don't always wake up. And you say everything's okay, but it isn't okay. And as we're in Jeremiah, captivity number one, 605. Nebuchadnezzar, the whole group, 597. That's Ezekiel. A whole group again. It's all right. They've taken the stuff in the temple. They've taken all those friends and neighbors that used to live near you. It's all right. We're still here. All these things are going on, but we're still here. Aren't we still here? I mean, we haven't been taken yet. Hang on, 587 of that. You're going to be taken. So with slightly, So that's what we listen to, the false voices, false prophets, priests. And in verse 14, verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, no, they weren't. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them, and there shall be, and they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So are we going to, is anything going to, no, what's the whole point that I was trying to get? The people are given a message to counter what Jeremiah is trying to say. And people, and they hear, we just read it in chapter 5. The people love to hear that. They don't want to hear that I better get right with God or I'm not going to make it. They don't want to hear that. In you dwelleth no good thing. Who wants to hear that? No one wants to hear it. The reality. We don't want to hear those things. We don't want to hear them. So we're going to listen to everyone else. Church and church better adapt. So the church says the right thing so that we're encouraged. We don't want to face reality. And that's the only way you can be a wonderful biblical optimist. And we had better be. By being a biblical realist, that's how you're an optimist. Because you're real. God is God. Fortunately, God is wonderfully God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that and in the process we'll have to stop. I wish I got a little further. God. God is a God, righteous God. God is a God of judgment. And God is to be reverenced. And that's what Jeremiah is going to learn. That's what Job learned another way, by going through physical things. Job learned that. Jeremiah learns it, and Ezekiel, and all the prophets, and us, in the College of Hard Knocks, in the realities of life. And if we see them as God sees them, and that's our thing, isn't it? That God, this is how we see. How we see the world, ourselves, our family, our loved ones, our job, our home, our school, our future. That's how we see it. But God, how do you see it? And if I see my world as I just tried to say it, and if that's important to me, then you're going to think of all those wonderful places the Lord said, if you have the whole world and I give you the whole world, and you have everything in the world, and you lose your own soul, you have nothing. You have nothing at all. Nothing. Now, God, that's what we're looking at. Jeremiah, the realities of life cause you to get you to understand, line up with God. You're either on God's side or you're trying to be in the middle. There is no middle. Line up with God. And that's what's so sobering, and why the church, why did Israel fail after a wonderful beginning? Because they wouldn't go with God's position. They wouldn't take God's side. Why is the church in apostasy? Revelation chapter 3. We need nothing. We have nothing. We don't need anything. We're going right into the tribulation, Revelation 17. That's right. Because we have no need of God. We don't need God. We have church and music and coming and going. We just don't have God. We don't have a holy God who saved us. And you know this, they got to call it, be ye holy for what? I am holy. That's what he said. You say, well, I don't want to be holy. Then you won't be. You won't be. You won't be. It's an awesome thing. It isn't an easy subject. It's a wonderful subject. I look at it and say, wow. Wow, no one's going to like that. But actually, it's the only way I'm going to get to enjoy God more. I need to see it from his position. God hates sin and the system. I have to hate it. I have to see it properly. I'm in it. I want to be reasonable, and we all have to be living in it as a testimony in our relationship to God. But I want my relationship to God be straight down the line with no, I don't want to play around. I just want to go down that corridor and trust God as I go. And so do you. That's what you want. I need to understand that. So I'm not making compromise. That's what I'm doing. Well, that's not so bad. Slightly. Things are all right. No, they aren't. They aren't. They're very bad. And they're going to get worse. I wish I was wrong, wrong, wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I do. I'll be glad to tell you in the back of the pew in the front, I was wrong. But I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in the history. I don't see it in the world. And what we're doing is we're worried about the green plague. The temperature is warmed up in the last 1,000 years, 1 degree. And do you realize if we live another 1,000 years, it'll be 2 degrees. And 10,000 years, we're going to cook. You got it? So no bags and no plastic, no things, no trees, no toilet paper, nothing. Got to leave the trees alone. You got it? I know it's dumb. I'm just trying to help you see a thing. Wow.